Around verse 12 is where we're going to begin. You know, this week, if you check out the bulletin, it has got some information about the services and kind of how we're the rules of engagement or so. There's just several different ways that we're going to try to reach out during this time. We're thankful to be able to, I guess, have a place that we can try to do this. We're going to try to get our digital footprint a little bit broader, do some streaming, do some videoing. We're going to be posting stuff to our website. So if you have a computer or an email address, phone number, we're going to try to reach people through texting and calling and stuff like that. That's going to be kind of our main avenues to reaching people during this time, that we have a lot of people that we don't see on a regular basis. They're staying home, and that's fine. These are difficult, dangerous times, so we understand. But at the same time, the mission must go on. We still have to reach out. We still have to try to get the gospel out. We still have to encourage people. So, we're gonna do the best we can. This is uncharted territory. But anyway, the bulletin's got a little bit of information about how we're going to do that. I also, this past week, I put together a directory that has people's names on it. If I had your email address, I emailed it to you. It's in the back just as you come in. It was right there beside the bulletin. So if you wanted it, just pick it up. It's got people's phone numbers on it. I don't have yours, Ronnie, we'll try to get that information to you. So it's probably going to become a better project later on. But anyway, that's going to be the change in our process for at least a few weeks until some things change. Also in the bulletin, yes, sir. We're trying to figure all that out. We're probably not going to have a Wednesday night or tonight. None tonight. We don't know about next week yet how we're going to do business. We're just kind of taking it one day at a time. I appreciate the concern for it. So, yes, sir. We'll get the information out to you. And then also in the bulletin, I normally put my outline. Well, if you follow that outline, that is not what we're going to be talking about today. I was actually talking, I think, to Joy or somebody, and God gave me a message while I was talking. So I felt like it was more appropriate for our day and time than what the other one was. Even though it's a good one too. Well, it's as good as what I can deliver or whatever that's worth. But anyway, today we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to be talking about defense against an unseen enemy. With this coronavirus out there, there's a lot of people afraid. They can't see it. They don't know who has it. Sometimes they're saying that people have it for several days before they know they have it, and that they're a carrier and they can infect people during that time. So how do you defend against an unseen enemy? Well, the scripture does talk about an unseen enemy. His name is Satan. And I don't know that he's very much different than what the coronavirus is. So we're going to use that as kind of a parallel today. But anyway, if you would look at Ephesians chapter 6, and let's start reading at verse 12. If you want to read along with me, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the ruler of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So, would you pray with me this morning? Dear Lord, We do ask that you will guide us in the understanding of your word, that you will help us to be able to apply these scriptures to our day and time. We know that these are perilous times that we are living in, and we just ask for your guidance and for your grace. Lord, as we talk about how to defend against an unseen enemy, help us to recognize your hand in all of these things, and that your power is still great, and that none of this is surprising to you. You knew this was going to happen. You know how to take care of it. And this is our day to be able to show our resilience during these times. May your church be strong. May they endeavor to present the truth of the gospel no matter what. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So when we get to, we see in Ephesians chapter 6 that there is an unseen enemy. We can't see these principalities. We can't see all these figures that it talks about, just like we can't see the coronavirus. We can't see it. All we can do is we kind of experience it. Well, that's kind of the same thing that goes on here. You know, one of the things that we in the church, we often forget is that things like this aren't from God. Does he know that they're there? He knows that they're there. He didn't. He's not sending this. He allows Satan to bring this on us for whatever reason. We may not know all the reasons until we get to eternity. But I want to show you kind of a story a little bit about that. If you're familiar with the book of Job, Job has a very interesting perspective of when things get bad in your life. You see, Job, he was a character that he lost everything, his wealth, his family. You know, in one day, armies came down and took out all of his camels, all of his sheep, all of his cattle, killed his servants. In one day, the same day, another servant came to him and said, "Job, all of your kids that were gathered at the eldest brother's house, they've been killed in a tornado." In one day, he's lost his wealth, he's lost his family. And that same day, how does he reply? He says, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And that's the attitude that we need to have, is that no matter what happens, that we will bless the name of the Lord. And understand, who is this character that wants to take everything from us? Well, it's Satan. He's out there to steal, he wants to kill, he wants to destroy, he wants to do those things to you. And we have to understand, how are we going to deal with this? On top of all of that, he takes Job's health. Listen to these verses in Job chapter 2. It says, "And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy faith. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself with her, and he sat down among the ashes." Can you imagine that? He's just lost everything, his wealth, his family, and now his health. And on top of that, he has a wife that says, "Job, why don't you just curse God and die?" And Job doesn't. He recognizes that God gives and he does take away. And then along with this, Job has some friends, but they're miserable counselors, giving him bad advice, telling him things that aren't so. And you know, and that's what we've got to understand. That's what Satan does. God does not guarantee that we're not going to have to go through things. He doesn't guarantee that your whole family is going to stay safe. He doesn't guarantee that your health is going to be safe. He doesn't even guarantee that you're going to have good friends when you need them the most. How do we deal with this? We need to understand it's not just them. It's Satan is at the core of this. And how do we deal with Satan? When we can't see him, the Scripture gives us some tools. And we need to understand these tools. In Ephesians chapter 6, the scripture says, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. You see, we're living in a very evil day today. Wouldn't y'all agree that we're in an evil day? This is an evil day. Take the whole armor of God. Now, we're going to talk about these pieces. The first one is in verse 14. Look what it says there. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The girder, what he's talking about is there is a belt that would hold the armor. That's how God talks about, or that's how the Apostle Paul is trying to illustrate. How do you deal with this unseen enemy? It's like you're dressing up for the military. We forget sometimes, or we think that whenever we come into the Christian world and we're going to be born again, that we're going to be saved, that we're getting on a limo, and we're along for the ride. And that's not how God does it. He said, when you're born again, when you're saved, you are enlisted into His army, and you are going up against a foe, against a warrior, someone who's had about 6,000 years experience of attacking mankind, and he is putting all of his experience on you. And you've got to be able to deal with this. You've got to be stronger. You've got to be smarter. You've got to be better. You've got to be bolder. That's what we see out of Ephesians chapter 6 here. We've got to be better than we ever have before. We're not on a limo along for the ride. We must be soldiers of the cross. We must go forth marching. And before we get in the ranks, we've got to make sure that we're prepared for war. Beginning with to prepare, you must be girt about with truth. You got to realize, what is the truth? The truth is, Satan is building an empire for the future. He is setting some things in motion. This is just a part of that process as he develops that beast system that will one day take over the world. If you don't know what I'm talking about, read the book of Revelation. You will see that this beast system marches through. John would even say that currently he says that there is the spirit of Antichrist already moving amongst us. One day there is going to be this final character. He is evil. He is the devil incarnate, just about. The devil possesses him. He will be an end time ruler. And God allows Satan to put some things in play. You see, we forget some stuff sometimes. We think, you know, why would God allow these things to come into the world? And we forget that who is the God of this world? The scripture tells us in Galatians that Satan is actually the God of this world. But you know what? I am so glad that even though Satan may be the God of this world, Jesus is Lord of this world. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even Satan, on that last day, the scripture tells us that Satan is going to be bound and he is going to be cast into hell. I look forward to that day that's going to happen. His power is nothing in comparison to God. However, there are times that God lets Satan mess with you and to mess with me. And he right now, he is messing with the world. And I think we're being called to action. I think it's time for the church that we recognize what is really going on. We are dealing with an unseen enemy. Gird yourself with the truth. Know the truth. Jesus said the truth will make you free. Do you know the truth? Don't believe the lies. You know, we think that, in a couple of weeks, this is all going to be over and it's going to be passed. I don't believe that. I don't even see that in the Scripture. I haven't witnessed that in my life. Think about 9/11. What happened at 9/11? What happened? The world changed when that happened. It caused a catastrophe. That's what happens. Satan got his hands in there and he changed it. Think about what's going on in this world. Is this the first time that Satan has tried this? It's not, but it's just been building. How about polio? Back during World War II, even one of our presidents was infected with polio. Lamed him for life. Think about the swine flu, the regular flu, Ebola, post-traumatic stress, the Agent Orange guys that came back from Vietnam. It's all been building to this event. I just really think that this is a power grab by Satan, and he is working something just tremendous among us. And we, as the church, we've got to stand and we've got to be ready to fight against the armies of Satan himself, against an unseen enemy. And we've got to be ready. We've got to be girt about with truth. The truth will come from God's Word. He'll reveal it to us. One of the things that bothers me about everybody staying home is that something that happened during Sodom. You know, in Sodom, one of their problems was that they had idol. They were very idle. And the idleness gave over to temptations, and they allowed themselves to sin. And it ended up that sin would just take over a civilization because they were idle. You know, don't let ourselves become idle. The next one it says is to put on the breastplate of righteousness. That breastplate, when you put it on, what is it guarding? It's guarding your heart. Don't let your idleness lead to a heart problem. Don't let your heart be subject unto these things that you're freely able to get to. The internet is providing us an opportunity to be able to stream things like this. But it also gives us opportunities to do some other things that are much more wicked. And we need to make sure that our heart is guarded. We must put on the breastplate of righteousness. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. Help protect your family. You know, one of the things about as we strive to protect our families is that we need to do what verse 15 says. We need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, as we are home with our families, it is a perfect opportunity for us to be able to share the gospel in a way that we've never been able to share the gospel with our families. A lot of families that normally send their kids to public school, that now they're having to teach them at home. Begin with a devotion. Begin by being the minister to your children. Teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what we're here for. If your feet are prepared with the gospel of peace, what does that mean? That means that your driving force in this world is the gospel. It doesn't matter what. You know, you got to wonder, are we making sure that we're taking advantage of what giving the gospel to our families? You know, we've got a kind of a captive audience. They're not supposed to go out. They're not supposed to go do things. Give them the gospel. Every family, somebody needs to stand up and say, we're going to make sure that the gospel is central in our family. We don't need to neglect that. Every day, giving the gospel. Use the lessons that you're teaching to give them the gospel, at least to the children. For the older families, your family members are going to be contacting you. We all have family members that are lost. They're going to be contacting you, checking on you. Give them the gospel. Let that be why you're here. We think that it's about saving ourselves. Jesus said, if you seek to save yourself, if you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. But those who will give their life will save it. That's what we've got to do. We've got to be willing to give our life for the gospel. Does that mean to be reckless? That's not what that means. That means that what is driving you is the gospel of Jesus. Is the coronavirus real? It is real. Is it dangerous? It is dangerous. But the gospel is more powerful. There are things more important in this world than our lives, and that is eternal life. Are we ready for eternal life? where we have about 50% of the people in the United States that they are not ready to go into everlasting life, whatever that may be. Because they're going to live forever somewhere. Either it's going to be in heaven or it's going to be in hell. Are they ready? Are you ready to be able to give the gospel? Do you know how to give the gospel? Do you know what the gospel is? Here it is in a nutshell. It is the virgin birth of Jesus, His death and His resurrection and His coming again. Do you know the gospel? Have you applied it to your life? Can you give the gospel to someone else? Do you know how to be able to lead them to Jesus? Are you prepared? Are your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Look what it says in verse 16. If your feet are prepared, you're girt about with truth, you got the breastplate of righteousness on. He says this in verse 16, above all. Do you see those words? Above all, those are important words. This is the most important thing in verse 16. Above all, take the shield of faith. This is your ultimate defense thing. This is going to protect you from the fiery darts of the devil. All the things that he's going to throw at you, they can be prevented or absorbed by the shield of faith. Does that mean that he's not going to throw stuff at you? That doesn't mean that. But it means that no matter what, you will be able to make it because you have the shield of faith. This is your core. This comes from Jesus. You know, one of the things that, as I was thinking about it, that during the darkest of times shine the brightest of lights. Let me express to you what I think that means. That means guys like Daniel. When Israel is in captivity and a man rises to the surface, he's actually not a man. He's a teenager. His name is Daniel. And he says, I will purpose in my heart that I will not defile myself with the pagan stuff of this world. I will protect myself. I will guard my heart. I will take on the shield of faith because I know that God can no matter what. Does it look bad? Oh, it looks bad. Is it bad? It may be bad. Think about what happened in Daniel's life. He ended up being thrown in the lion's den for his faith. And he was okay with that. And God got him through it. Think about guys like Moses. Guys who were willing to come in the darkest hour. Man, I just thought, what about Moses' parents? What if they had been afraid to make sure that they protected the next generation? What if they had been afraid to protect Moses? Who would be delivering Israel? The faith of parents. The faith of a couple of people. Brought in a Moses, a really bright light in a very dark time. How about guys like Noah? He's all by himself. He's been preaching the gospel for 120 years. If it were not for Noah's faith, would he have built the boat? He believed God. And believing God, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, at this time, God's calling the church. Maybe they're at home. Maybe the church members are at home. But that doesn't mean that you are exempt from putting on the armor. The battle must be waged. The battle must be fought. The battle's coming. What you've got to decide is, am I going to be a casualty or am I going to be a hero? This is a time to be a hero. America needs a hero. America needs a bright light. You know, if we had these bright lights that come on the scene as Daniel and Moses and Noah, Moses' parents, how about Esther? She doesn't even believe that she has strong enough faith. She needs it. But Mordecai comes to her and says, Esther, it may be that you are here for such a time as this. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are here for such a time as this. Are you ready to take on the armor of God and march forward for the cause of Christ? Taking on the shield of faith and going forth, no matter what kind of darts that the devil throws at you. Yeah, I don't want you to get the virus. God doesn't want you to get the virus, but He may allow it. You know, I remember a friend named Ashley, as she was dying with cancer in her early, I think she was about 40 years old. She used her final days every day to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person that came to visit her. Hundreds and hundreds of people came to visit her. She told, Joy and I went to visit her, and she told us that she's like, I've never been able to witness like I'm witnessing now. And she did not regret the cancer killing her. She was dying. But she used it for the cause of Christ. We've got a mission. Do we have the faith to make sure that we keep taking those steps of faith forward and be those bright lights? Listen, you need to be that bright light during this dark time. If you're going to be that bright light, do what Paul says here in verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. Know that you're saved. Do you understand salvation? Has it been applied to your life? Have you done what Romans, how the Apostle Paul gives the gospel in the book of Romans? Have you really called upon the name of the Lord to be saved? That's what the Scripture says. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you done what He says? Have you believed in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead? Have you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believed in your heart? He says if you do, you shall be saved. What does that mean? That means that you're willing to do what some of the other things that he says that you'll do. You repent of your sin. You turn from your wicked ways. And that is what we need today. We need people of faith who are walking around that shield of faith. And they testify of 2 Chronicles, where Solomon instructs, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I heal their land. Listen, it takes faith. We've got to recognize, what are we doing? We understand salvation, and we start applying that. If you understand salvation, He gives us something else, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the only weapon that we have in here. What does it say about the sword of the Spirit? It says, which is the Word of God. This is our weapon. If we are not opening our Bibles regularly to our families, they're at home, they're idle, the kids are probably playing a ton of video games, you may be going stir crazy. Have you opened up God's Holy Word? This is our sword. How are you going to fight the forces of evil, whether they're in your life or in the life of your family, if you will not take the sword of the Spirit? A sword doesn't do any good if it's in the sheath. It must be drawn. It must be ready to fight. What does the Scripture tell us? That it's like a double-edged sword. It can pierce even to the dividing of the soul and spirit and the bone and the marrow. Do you know how to wield the sword? Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't. Let me give you some advice. Start by just opening it up. Read the words. Read them out loud to your family. Make them read it. Talk about it. Discuss it. You know, I'm not against the church meeting at home. I think it's great if the church meets at home. But I want them to actually meet at home. I want them to open up the Word. I want them to pray together. I want them to study together. I want them to become just like the church was in the book of Acts, where they met house to house. And it says that the church was increased daily. That's something that we have not seen in these United States of America. We have not seen the church increasing daily. We think the church increases from building to building. It's families. Have we been wielding the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? Let me tell you something else about this Word of the God. John chapter 1 says it like this: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh, John says, and dwelt among us. His name is Jesus. Are you wielding Jesus today? Are you opening up the Word? Are you teaching your children? Are you teaching your family? If you're doing those things, look what verse 18 says. Praying always. You know, I've often, as I'm teaching classes to kids and stuff, I'd ask them, like, hey, how many of you pray, you know, for a minute a day? And, you know, everybody will raise their hand. They pray for a minute a day. And I ask, well, how many of you pray for 5 minutes a day? And maybe a couple of them raise their hand. How about 10 minutes? One or two. But once you get to about 15 minutes, the hands quit going up. And Jesus, during His darkest hour, He calls on His disciples, His fellow, His believers, by the way, and He says, what, could you not pray with Me for an hour? And they couldn't. They kept falling asleep. They couldn't make it an hour. They didn't understand the importance. Listen, today is our darkest hour. Could you not pray for an hour? Let me give you some suggestions. You're like, I don't know. I can't pray for an hour. Listen, take the directory of your church. Go through every name. Pray for every name. Get specific if you know those people. If you know some of their problems, some of their issues, pray for them. How about your cell phone contacts? How many people do you have in your cell phone? Probably a lot, right? Pray for all those people in your contacts. How about your Facebook friends? You know, I looked this morning, I've got over 600 Facebook friends. I didn't know I knew so many people. I'm so popular. But there's other people that have thousands of Facebook friends. How long would it take you to pray for all of them? Pray for all of them. They need Jesus. This is your opportunity. Hey, what if we shut down? What if the Christians in the United States all got this message and they're like, you know what, that's a good idea. I'm going to pray for all my Facebook friends and I'm going to send them all a message. I wonder if it would shut down Facebook. Everybody, all the Christians saying, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your health. I'm praying that you don't get this virus. But if you do, I'm praying that God would heal you. If He doesn't heal you, I pray that you go to glory. I pray that you go to heaven. I pray that He heals you permanently and you don't have to deal with the aftermath of what this is going to cause. But while I'm here, I'm going to put on the armor of God. And I'm going to be His soldier. I'm going to be His warrior. It's not enough for me to ride in the limo. I want to be a hero for Jesus. I want to be willing to put on this armor and go forth and to be able to defend against an unseen enemy. Hey, today there's a lot of people afraid of a virus, but they need to be afraid of hell. They need to recognize they need Jesus. They need this armor. They need the truth. They need righteousness. They need the gospel of peace. They need the helmet of salvation. They need the sword of the Spirit. They need that Word of God. They need to know how to pray. They need to pray to Jesus. I need a Savior. I need a Deliverer. You know, being a Christian doesn't mean that you get out of bad stuff. But it does mean whenever you go through it, God gives you grace. In the book of Acts, Jesus tells the disciples, "You will be my witnesses." He told James and John, "Are you willing?" Each wanted to sit on the right hand and on the left. And Jesus said, "Are you able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink from?" And you know what their answer was? "Yeah, Lord, we can drink from that cup." And Jesus says, "You sure will, guys. You sure will." James lost his head shortly after Jesus rose from the dead. He drank the same cup. And he wasn't upset about it. He willingly was testifying of Jesus, knowing the cost, counting the cost, and willing to accept whatever happened to be a witness. Man, I'm so glad that there's guys like that who are willing to be a witness. I don't want to be afraid. I want to be a witness no matter what. If I have to stay home, I will witness to my family with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm going to make sure that they get the devotions that they need. I'm going to make sure they get the preaching that they need. It's not enough to watch some preacher on a screen. Does it help? It may. But it's not the same. It's not the same as when my spirit interacts with your spirit. Hey, we need that today. May God send His Holy Spirit and make us warriors for the cause of Christ in a way that we never have. May at the end of all this nonsense, may the church of God be stronger than ever. May it be like in the book of Acts where they really do go house to house. That the church really will be in the houses of the United States of America, not just in the buildings. I look forward to that day. I long for those days when families talk about the Bible regularly. They don't have sports to talk about right now. Talk about Jesus. You can't go to the restaurant today. Sit at the table. Talk about Jesus. Hey, He's coming back again. We are seeing the birth pangs of the tribulation right in front of us. Are you ready? Are your children ready? Are your families ready? Are your friends ready? This is your day to be the brightest light in the darkest of night. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, I just want to thank You for Your grace and for Your mercy. Would You help us to be Your children? Help us to be the soldiers that we need to be during this dark time. Help us to share Your word. Help us to have faith the way that we need to. Help us to understand the truth. Help us to be take on the breastplate of righteousness, to guard our heart when Satan tries to tempt us. Help us to wield the sword of the Spirit. Lord, help us to pray always. Lord, this is a time when we need to pray and we need to fast more than we ever have. Guide us, Lord, in these things. Help us to be Your children the way that You want us to be. May a revival occur because of what's going on. What Satan means for evil, Lord, use it for good. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.